Hear the word of God as it is written in Psalm 32, reading verses 1 to 11. This can be found on page 427 of most of the pew Bibles. Psalm 32. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all godly praise to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Here ends our first reading. Our second reading, we go to Luke chapter 17, reading verses 11 to 19, which can be found on page 799 of most of the pew Bibles. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village, there 10 lepers stood on a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, Praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Thank you for listening, and may God add his glory and praise to the reading this morning. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. If you take a look in the mirror, I wonder what you see. For many, we see only the outward image, our looks, our shape. And for most, we're more critical of ourselves than anyone else. We don't see the beautiful person that others see. Instead, we focus on the things that have forever drawn our eyes. The blemish on our skin, the birthmark, the spot, the scar, the receding hairline, the handlebar waist, the wrinkles and the missing teeth. Well, enough about me. We don't see ourselves from a distance, seeing the whole person. Rather, we focus on what we're not happy with. Our reading from Luke tells us of meeting between Jesus and a group of people whose personal appearance would make our own self-image phobias seem minor in comparison. Jesus met many people in his 3 years of ministry, many people who wanted physical healing, like the cripple who was lowered through the roof by his friends, like the blind beggar at the city gates. But few of the people that Jesus met were as lowly as the 10 lepers in a village on the border of Galilee and Samaria. There were no friends to bring these poor souls to Jesus. They were isolated from the rest of society. They could not reach out and beg at the city gates, for no one would risk touching them. They were considered unclean, and worse than that, they were condemned in judgment by others who believed that their disease, their leprosy, was a punishment from God for some terrible sin or sins that they had committed in the past. And if anyone in society was cursed, then it was surely them. This group of desperate souls must have heard the stories, the remarkable and miraculous stories of what Jesus had been doing throughout Judea. For when Jesus approaches their village, they call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Here was a group who had received very little mercy in their lives, not just from the ordinary Joe Blogs on the streets of society, but also from the religious establishment, and in particular, the priestly leaders. When Jesus looked at them, he would have seen what others saw, the decaying skin as their disease rotted their bodies away. But Jesus also saw what others did not. He saw 10 lepers through eyes of love they could never understand. And he says to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And the incredible thing that we often miss in our reading of this story is that all 10 lepers went to find the priests. The temple priests were powerful men. They had temple guards to protect them and to carry out their orders. It would have been a foolish person indeed who tried to approach a temple priest whilst that person was unclean. If a priest came into contact with an unclean person, the priest would have been considered unclean and would have had to go through a ritual of cleansing before resuming their priestly duties. So the guards would have driven the unclean person off to protect the holiness of the priest. And yet, all 10 lepers set off to find the priest when Jesus told them to go. What gave them the courage to do this? Oh, there may have been one or two brave ones amongst them, but I seriously doubt that all 10 would have been brave. Yes, they had heard the miraculous stories of healing that surrounded Jesus' ministry. But would they have all believed enough to risk the whips of the temple guards? There is power in Jesus' words when he commands them to seek out the priests. And I think they have no choice but to go. But they certainly had freedom of choice in what happened next. Because out of the 10 who were healed, only one returned to Jesus to thank him. And he was a Samaritan, a Gentile, a non-Jew, a foreigner, as Jesus described him. And Jesus then says to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." I don't think Jesus was talking about the man's leprosy. I think he was referring to the man's spiritual healing and his faith in Jesus. But what about the sins of the other 9? Were they healed? No, they were not. And that fact should be a warning to each and every one of us. For how many times have we forgotten to say thank you to God? How many times have we failed to appreciate the blessings God has bestowed upon us? Ingratitude is not an amiable infirmity, a social disability. It is a sin. Shakespeare described ingratitude as, "Thou marble-hearted fiend." Martin Luther, the forefather of the Reformation, delved deeper, saying, Ungratefulness is theft. And he was talking about theft from God. 1 in 10 thank God for a miraculous healing from the curse of leprosy. I reckon the ratio of the people here in this place this morning would be much higher if we were miraculously healed from some terrible disease. I reckon most of us would be on our knees thanking God for his miracle. But what about the more mundane healings that we take for granted? We recover from the flu without a thought of thanking God for making our bodies so wonderfully well that such viruses can be overcome. Ingratitude is one of many sins that all result in the same thing, separation from God. Sin brings death, both physical and spiritual. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world and life became limited. When Jesus entered the world, everything changed. Life was no longer limited. In fact, through Jesus' death and resurrection, life became limitless. One of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" Then he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." In gratitude, the man praised God for what Jesus had done. In the same way, we need to be grateful for what Jesus, for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Because there is a great danger if we are not grateful that it will reflect the sin in our hearts that we don't think we need Jesus to save us, or we don't want Jesus to save us, or that we don't care. In so doing, we reject Jesus and all that he has done for us. We reject his mercy, his forgiveness, his sacrifice, his eternal kingdom. But if we accept Jesus as our Savior, if we drink the communion wine, remembering his spilled blood with remorse in our hearts, if we eat the communion bread with sadness, knowing that Jesus' body was broken to pay the debt of our sins, it shows that the death and resurrection of Jesus means something to us. If you can take this gift of bread and wine without feeling, if you drink and eat and are not conscious of what it cost Jesus, if you are cold to the pain and suffering that Jesus endured, then you will be like one of the 9 who took Jesus' healing gift and walked away. But if you receive this gift of bread and wine with feeling, then like the 1 leper who returned to say thank you, you will open your heart to receive more than you could ever imagine. The greatest gift Jesus could give you is not to heal you physically, but to heal you spiritually. And this he has already done. By giving his body and blood as a sacrifice for sin, he has already paid the price to redeem your soul for eternity. Jesus has done this once and for all. He does not need to do it again and again and again because you sin again and again and again. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, a tremendous change in your relationship with God occurs. God adopts you as his child. 1 John chapter 3 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children." And God promises you a resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2 says, God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. God washes you clean. Acts 10 declares, everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven through his name. That refers to all your sin. The sin you committed before you took Jesus as your Savior. The sins you have committed every day from that day to this. And all the sins that you will commit from this day to your last day. Jesus explains himself in John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. When we look in the mirror, we see our own worst critics. We are our own worst enemies, especially when we carry our sin instead of confessing it to Jesus. Instead of being freed from the chains of the past, freed to enjoy life to the full in the abundant love of God, when we disrespect what Jesus has done, when we fail to see what God has blessed us with, when we take from God without gratitude, it is we ourselves who suffer. Know this, when we sin, God's love for us does not change. We do not lose our promised salvation through sin. The only way we lose that is by rejecting Jesus and what he's done for us. And the first steps in that path to destruction is to take the Lord for granted. It's to fail to give him the place of honor in our lives. Ingratitude is a sin that can lead to a place, a dark place we most assuredly do not want to go to. So as you eat from the Lord's table this morning, give praise to God for what he's done for you. And give that praise with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you have given us so much. And yet, so often we forget to praise you, to thank you. So often we live our lives not even thinking about you. And yet, all of those times, even in our darkest, most sinful times, you are there with us, loving us, no matter what. You know that we are weak and sinful. And so you sent your son Jesus to rescue us. Let us never, never belittle that sacrifice. Let us be aware of what our sin has cost Jesus, the pain and suffering he endures for us, so that we can be with him for eternity in heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.